Well, it's been a few weeks since I've been at the pulpit, and I'm glad to be back. We are continuing on the subject of healing, and the name of the message is Healing, Your Gift from God. We are up to part 15 tonight, and I was doing the topic of believing, unbelief, and then I started talking about speaking, the importance of speaking, and tonight we're going to be doing speaking part 3. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit works, because recently Pastor Ed was also led by the Holy Spirit to be teaching on affirmation. It's almost identical, just little different ways of kind of presenting it, but the importance of our speaking or affirming. So if this is your very first time tuning in, I encourage you to go to our church website, and in the very middle, you'll see messages, and you'll see Healing, Your Gift from God, and you can go back and start at number 1 and catch up and get your foundation on healing, because we've been doing this for quite a long time. In fact, in October, it'll be 1 year. I don't speak every week, but we're up to number 15. So we're going to do our declaration and then a quick review. And we will start with doing the declaration, something that you're familiar with, but we also encourage you to speak it on a daily basis. And it goes like this. I operate from a position of victory because I have already won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. We have 3 anchor scriptures from the Passion Translation. The first one, 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20. And the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. Romans 8:10-11. Now, not tomorrow, now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. We're going to see this when we talk about Abraham tonight. In the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. Amen. Now, quick review. I talked about in the last message about our voice activation and identification. If you recall, we talked about the fact we all have different fingerprints. Nobody has the same fingerprints as you do. We all have a different eye identification. And now we can even scientifically identify people by their voices, belonging only to you. So when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, God heard your voice, and you are the one that got saved, not somebody else. Okay? So we have voice recognition, which is heard by God himself. Each of us gets what we say, and not what someone else says. We are either justified or condemned by our words. We kill or give life with our words. Remember, Pastor Sarah declared, your future is not in God's hands, it's in your mouth. And that's why it's important to understand the power behind our speaking. Faith without works is dead, we know that. And our faith is voice activated. So the more I hear myself speak God's word, the greater my faith will become. Now, we looked at Exodus 17 when God told Moses to strike the rock in order to get water from it. And then in Exodus 20, we looked at where God told Moses to speak to the rock. In his frustration with the people, Moses hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Okay? So because he didn't obey God or believe God, Moses was not able to get into the promised land. So here's an Old Testament example of God telling Moses to speak to a rock and command it to produce water. Well, in the New Testament, we are to speak to our mountains. Mark 11, we see that we are told to speak to our mountains. God was establishing a new and different avenue for him to move through. We looked at the story of the centurion who understood the power of the spoken word when he said to Jesus, "Only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Jesus saw that as great faith. Amen. So I thought at that time I was finished in the area of speaking, but the Holy Spirit had other things in mind. So tonight we're going to talk about Jesus and Abraham, who is our father of faith. So let's turn to Genesis 17. We're going to start there. Genesis 17, 4-5. I'm going to read that from both the Voice Translation and the New King James. Genesis 17, 4-5, New King James first. So now this is God talking to Abraham. "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations." Okay, so God is telling this to Abraham. "You shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations." Notice it's past tense. It's already done. Listen to it in the Voice. "Eternal One," this is God speaking, "here's my covenant with you. I promise you will become the root of a huge family tree of multiple nations. To symbolize your foundational role in this covenant, I hereby change your name. You will no longer go by the name Abram. Your new name will be Abraham, which means father of a great multitude of nations, because that is exactly what I will make you." So Abraham hears from God. He hears that now he's going to be the father of many nations. He has an option, a choice. You could say God was giving him his personal rhema. This was a personal word to Abraham from God. It was for his situation. But first he had to believe that it could or would become. He had to believe it first. No different than when you and I receive our salvation, we have to believe it first and then speak it. So each of us can get from God our personal rhema word for whatever we need. And we need to keep that in mind. So we've heard, I think it's Pastor Greg more so has, and both our pastors, but basically, when they encountered evil reports, they would go to God and say, "God, what do you want me to do? Or what do you want me to say?" And God would give them scriptures, direction, and guidance. They were getting their personal rhema, just like Abraham got his personal rhema. So now we've been talking about believing, unbelief, and speaking. And so let's go to Romans 4. We're going to continue to look at Abraham, and we're going to read verses 13 to 23, starting in the New King James. And this is called the promise granted through faith. We're talking about Abraham, Romans 4, starting verse 13. "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law," it didn't come through the law, "but through the righteousness of faith. For those who are of the law are heirs. Faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression." Verse 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead," God who gives life to the dead "and calls those things which do not exist as though they did." Keep that in mind. "Who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken." It was spoken by God. It was given to Abraham. It was believed. And then it came to pass because the promised son came. "So shall your descendants be," verse 19, "and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. So Abraham not only believed God, but he was so convinced that God could do what he said he would do. And we have to learn from that. We have to do the same thing. Verse 24, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So let's go back up and look at verse 16. Verse 16, and said, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. And I just want to point out that our salvation is based on these two powerhouses. For by grace are you saved through faith. Abraham's promise of healing in his body as well as in Sarah's was of faith according to grace. Ephesians 2:8, many of us know the scripture, Ephesians 2:8 in the New King James, simply says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, if you remember, I think it was in the first or second teaching that I did in this series, I used an umbrella for demonstration. And the umbrella, the outer part of the umbrella, represented salvation. And each of the spokes inside was something different. Each spoke was something different that we accomplished or we received in our salvation. It may have been prosperity. One spoke may have been healing. One spoke was justification, sanctification, deliverance. All of those things are part of the covering of salvation. So you could see and look at verse 8 there, Ephesians 2:8, and you could say, for by grace you have been healed through faith. You could put that in there and not be changing the scriptures, because we don't change the scripture. Okay? So everything is part of our salvation, the prosperity, the healing, the deliverance, all of that. Now, Abraham believed God who gives life to the dead. Maybe you've been dealing with something. Maybe you have an organ in your body that the doctor has said is not functioning at its optimum. And if God did it for Abraham, he will do it for you. Speak to it. Speak to it. Get your personal rhema from God and then speak to that part of your body, whatever it is. So just like Abraham, we have to call ourselves what God calls us. What God has spoken to Abraham became a reality in his life. He received the promised son, and we have to do the same thing. We have to call ourselves healed because he calls us healed. Call yourself healed and don't be moved off of that. What God has spoken will become a reality in your life. That's how faith works. That is the power of agreement. You agree with what God has said. There's power in agreement. Based on Romans 4:17, God called Abraham a father, even though he wasn't one yet. That's faith. But God saw him as a father, and so he called him that. He was the father of many nations, and Isaac wasn't even born. So God sees you healed and whole. You see yourself the same way. See yourself doing something that you couldn't do before. Seeing yourself doing something completely whole. All you have to do is speak and act according to God's word. In verse 18, it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. According to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. Abraham received a son because of what God had spoken. The scriptures are filled with things and promises to us, and especially in the area of healing. God spoke it, we believe it, and then we receive it. In verse 18, it says, against all odds. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. There's things I'm believing God to fulfill. I expect God to fulfill them. Each of us has something, I'm sure, that we expect God to fulfill. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. So each of us needs to speak the scriptures on healing that we need for our situation. 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I was healed. I was healed, therefore I am healed. It says basically we were healed. Well, if we were, then I am. Christians get in trouble when we believe things that God never said. We believe things someone else said, and sometimes we listen to doctors who do not have the final word. God does. I appreciate the medical profession, but only God has the final word. You have to decide who you are going to believe. And you've heard me tell the story about Kiki, the individual that overdosed and was in a coma, and three neurologists said, brain dead, no hope. And she's walking around healed today. You cannot allow your body to tell you whether it is healed or not. Let me say that again. You cannot allow your body to tell you whether it is healed or not. Get in agreement with God and stay in agreement with him. And be careful not to swing over into doubt or unbelief, but you stay focused on the word of God. Remember, as Christians, we don't focus on the natural realm, but we stay in the spirit. We are not moved by what we see. Get into agreement with what God has said about you, just like Abraham did. That's why I believe he was called the father of faith. And in verse 19, it said he didn't consider his own body at the age of 100. You could say Abraham didn't look at the natural realm that included his aging body. He didn't consider that. Okay, because he was considering and he was focused on what God told him. You are healed right now. I said you are healed right now. Learn from Abraham. Verses 23 and 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Listen to that in the Passion Translation, verses 23-25. In the Passion it says, and this declaration was not just spoken over Abraham, but also over us. Study this out. Believe it. Speak it. For when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. So 2 Corinthians 4:13. Let's go back there quickly, just a quick review in the New King James, 2 Corinthians 4:13, New King James. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. It's critical in our journey in healing to believe and to speak. Now, Paul got that scripture that he referred to. He got that from Psalm 116, verse 10. Psalm 116, verse 10, this is David speaking. He said, I believed, therefore I spoke. I'm greatly afflicted. David was going through some stuff, okay? And the Passion says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, fear can take you out. Remember that. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. Amen. So hearing the word of God causes faith in God and in his word to come to you. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Okay. Let me say it again. Hearing the word of God causes faith in God and in his word to come to you. This spiritual force is also released out of your mouth when you speak God's word. It actually releases God's ability on your behalf. Now, We know that Jesus had great faith because, first of all, he only spoke that which he heard his Father say. And in order to hear something, it has to be spoken. The words you speak affect you more than anyone else. So here's God's cycle for producing faith as well as planting seed for harvest. Every time you speak God's word, you are planting seed. What you believe, you will speak. And if you remember on Sunday, Pastor Ed was talking about the harvest. The farmer talks about the harvest. They look for that. But even if you don't believe the word, follow me now, if you speak it long enough and keep repeating it over and over, you will eventually believe it, and then you will be bold to speak it. And when you speak it, you'll know you believe it. As we renew our minds on the word, believe and speak it, we move from the natural realm to the spiritual. We get from a place of maybe questioning something, maybe doubt, whatever, and we eventually get to a place we are solidified and nothing can move us off that promise. Amen? So we need to keep that in mind. We stay in the spiritual realm. Speaking creates the ability to believe. We're only limited by what we can believe based on the authority of God's word. However, what we believe is affected by our knowledge. Example, those who don't have knowledge of Jesus won't be able to believe for their salvation. We need to have the knowledge, and we get that from the word of God. Call yourself healed. Just say, I'm healed. And just say it over and over. I'm healed. I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And then ignore everything else that contradicts it. You get the process going, and it's in your mouth, and then it's in your heart. And when it is in your heart in abundance, it will stay in the mouth. It's in the heart. It's believed. And that will begin to process out of your mouth. Let's go to Luke 6:45 in the New King James. Luke 6:45 in the New King James. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Listen to it in the Passion. For the overflow of what has been stored in your heart will be seen by your fruit, and it'll be heard in your words. Let's look at Jesus and what he spoke and how we can learn from this. Let's go to Mark 11, starting at verse 12. Mark 11, verses 12 to 14. I'm going to read it in the New King James. Mark 11, starting verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So, Jesus speaking to a fig tree. "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." So the disciples heard this, but they didn't see anything happen. And we know Jesus spoke only what the Father told him to speak. All right. So when what Jesus did here was set a precedent for us, he spoke to an object, a tree. Now, Moses spoke to a rock because God told him to. Jesus speaks to a tree. Now, let's go down to verse 20. We're going to read verses 20 to 24. This is where Jesus is giving the disciples a lesson on faith, speaking to your mountain, believing, and prayer. Now, in start of verse 20, Mark 11, verse 20 in the New King James. Now, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So from the moment that Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it began to die. The same is true for us. Our prayers are answered the moment we pray, but the full manifestation may take time. So Jesus, verse 22, Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus is telling them this. He's giving them the formula, basically. He's our example. And we know from this, we've heard this before, that God told Brother Hagin, you have to speak something three times more than believing it. So we learn that Jesus used his authority to speak to a situation, to speak to an object, and it must obey. Moses spoke to the rock, it had to produce water. Moses hit the rock. He was supposed to speak to it. I'm sorry, okay? And here, Jesus speaks to a tree, and it dies. So there is power in believing prayer. When we believe and we pray and speak, things happen. Let's go to Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. You could do a whole message on just Hebrews 4, 12. There's so much richness and revelation here. Now, I'm going to be reading that verse from the New King James, the Voice, the Passion, the Message, and the Amplified. You think we're going to get enough of it, okay? But I want to point out several things because I think it's important for us to understand what we have in the Word of God and what it represents. Hebrews 4, verse 12, New King James. For the Word of God is living and powerful. Living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Keep in mind, living and powerful, okay? We go to the Voice translation. The Word of God, you see, is alive and moving, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and will of the heart. And the Passion says it, for we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. So this is why also when you hear it being said that way, I like the way it says it interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. The Word of God will convict you. If you're in sin, it'll let you know. Now listen to it in the Message. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. The word wants us to listen to it and then obey it. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. Love that. Listen to it in the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and paralyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. God will convict us of our sins through his word. Okay, it exposes our motives in our hearts. And when it does that, we get to choose whether or not we're going to be obedient. Now, these adjectives, let me just go over this for a minute because there's so much to this. These adjectives are used to describe the Word of God. Living, powerful, alive, active, operative, effective, moving, full of energy, full of power, and sharp like a surgeon's scalpel. The word powerful, when you look at that word, it means active and effective, but it means something at work. powerful, something at work. So what this to me means is that the word is at work. Something is at work. The word is at work, working and healing your body. It's the word that does it. It's the word that does it. That word powerful means something at work. So you speak the word, there's a change. You keep speaking the word, there's more change. You keep speaking the word, more change. And it's all for the positive. The more you speak the word, the more that power is changing or healing your body, leading to wholeness. Now, I was looking in one of the Bibles I use. I like the Dakes and very in depth with things. And listen to these. There's 12 symbols of the Word of God. These are the different things that the Word of God does. One, it's a hammer to convict. Now, there's scriptures for each of these. I'm not going to go into that, but it's a hammer to convict. Two, a fire to refine. A mirror to reflect. Seed to multiply. We know that when we talk about giving all the time. It's a laver to cleanse. A lamp to guide. Rain and snow to refresh. A sword to cut. A bow for revenge. Gold to enrich. It is power to create faith and eternal life. And it is food to nourish. And under the word food, milk for babies, bread for the hungry, meat for men, and honey for dessert. Wow. When you look at all of that's available to us through the word of God. Amen. So let's go to John 6:63. John 6:63 in the New King James. And as we're getting there, just keep remembering that if you have the word and it does all of this for you, why would you not speak it? We have something that is so amazing, and yet people may say it once a day, something, but there's so much power in it. Begin to speak it more frequently. Amen? Just like Pastor Ed was saying, our affirmations are critical. Okay, so these words that I gave you, they describe what happens when we speak the word of God. It goes to work on our behalf. We're the ones that are the beneficiaries when we speak the word. All right, John 6:63 should be there by now. It says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. We don't want anything to do with death. We want the life. Listen to it, the passion. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. That which is of the natural realm is of no help. The words I speak to you are spirit and life, but there are still some of you who won't believe. Remember, God is listening to hear our voices speak his word. And then we will have voice activated the promise of God, or you could say, we have activated the promises of God with our voices. We want to keep those promises coming, moving in our direction. And the last scripture for tonight, we're going to look at Matthew 4, and I'm going to look at verses 1 to 11 in the New King James. Matthew 4. We know this because this is when Jesus was tempted by the devil. And starting at verse 1, it says, and then Jesus, I'm reading from the New King James, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written. See, by saying if, it's kind of like he's, you know, letting Jesus think that, you know, you really aren't the Son of God. Maybe you're not. I don't think you are. Maybe to try to tempt him and goad him. All right. But Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. There's our life. The bread that comes from the mouth of God. Verse 5, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus wasn't fooling around with the devil. The devil wasn't giving up until he kept getting hit with the word. And every time he got hit with the word, he had to back off. Jesus understood the power in the word and the importance to speak God's word. And we learn from that. We need to do the exact same thing. I was reading something that Charles Capps wrote, and I want to quote that and read it to you tonight. And this is what he said. So just kind of pay attention here. Your body was created by God to respond to messages received from your brain. There are chemicals in the brain called endorphins that, when they're activated, kill pain in a manner similar to narcotics. Other brain chemicals, known as neurotransmitters, affect how you think, how you feel, and how you behave. The Bible declares, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We know that from Proverbs 18:21. Your words affect your brain, which influences your body chemistry and ultimately your physical health. Let me say that again. Your words affect your brain, which influences your body chemistry and ultimately your physical health. So if you're going around saying negative things and saying, oh, you know, I feel so bad, I'm not seeing this happen, I'm not seeing my healing come, and you keep repeating things, it's influencing your physical health. He also said, listen, I believe there are some diseases that will never be cured unless people learn to speak the language of health that the body understands. God's word is infused or engrafted into you by giving voice to his word with your own mouth. This is the language of health that your body understands, and it will respond to it. God's word is the original healing medicine. Take it on a daily basis for best results. And I'm going to add to that, when you take the word of God, there's no side effects and you can never overdose. In fact, it's good to overdose on the word. Okay? But it's a language that our body understands because that's the way God created us. He created our bodies to heal itself. You break a bone, when it heals, it's stronger than it was before the fracture. Our bodies heal themselves. They were created that way. So it's going to automatically listen to our words. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his words, and the word healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen. So Jesus is our example of who, what he said, his quoting, what is written, speaking always what the Father told him, and we can do the same thing. We should do the same thing. So when we need healing in our bodies, we need to be speaking the word of God just like Jesus did. Amen. There's power in that word, in these words. And when you need the healing, those words are there to do that job, to bring about that fact, because we talked about this in the beginning. Healing is not a promise, it's a fact. It's already accomplished. Amen? So Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you're just so good, so good, so faithful. You have done it all. It's already done. Help us to step into our supernatural places that you provided so that we can experience victory in every area of healing every time we pray. Get us to that point of being just like Abraham, so convinced. It is our gift. We receive it and we demonstrate to the world your love and your provision. Healing is the children's bread. So for those out there tonight that are listening, minister to their hearts. Continue to show them how much you love them and how much you want them healed and whole, because it's your desire. Healing was your intention from the very beginning. It was your idea all along. You have never wavered. It's always been your will to heal, and we thank you for that. Amen. So tonight, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. And all you have to do is confess a simple prayer that has to do with believing and speaking, and you will have eternal life. And so all you have to do is repeat after me and say, "Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified. He died. He was buried, but he rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take over my life, and I thank you for eternal life. Amen." That simple prayer took your spirit that was dead and changed it in a second, in a nanosecond, into life, giving your spirit life, and now you have eternal life. We have information on the screen. If you pray that prayer, please don't hesitate to contact us, reach out to us by mail or email or by phone, and we want to get some information to you. You're brand new at this, and we want you to get started in the right direction. The information will help you. It's just like bringing the baby home from the hospital. You have to have all the right things for the baby to grow. I encourage you to find a church where you will be fed the Word of God. You're welcome to come here. But if you don't live in the area, I hope you have a good church where you're being fed the Word, because that's what will change your life. And that process happens from the inside out. Amen. So we hope you'll reach out to us if you pray that prayer. And welcome to the family of God. You're welcome to come here. You'll get awesome teaching here. Pastor Ed, Pastor Greg, great teachers. And we just know that you'll be encouraged and you will grow spiritually.